Grace you in peace in the name of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you had grown up in the late 1930s in Germany. And though you had been raised in a Christian home and had been taught about loving your neighbor, you also had been taught that it was the Jews who killed Jesus. And it was also the Jews who had persecuted the first Christians. And what if also you were taught that it was the Jews who were responsible for many of the current problems that you were having in your country? And also that the Jews were an inferior race of people. How do you think you would feel about Jewish people? Or imagine if you were a child right now, growing up in North Korea, and the only information about the outside world, the world outside of your borders, that you receive is that which the government has carefully controlled. As far as you know, from what you've heard, the Western world is made up of people with horns whose sole desire is to destroy you and to destroy your country. How do you think you would feel about America and Americans? Now imagine that you are living at the end of the first century, somewhere in the Mediterranean world. You have grown up with a philosophy known as Gnosticism, which finds its roots in the dualism of Plato. Simply speaking, the Gnostic philosophy saw that anything of the material world is evil, and anything of the spiritual world is good. And thus, since everything in this material world is evil, it doesn't really matter what you do with your physical body, because it's all evil anyway. Which, of course, led to much immorality and debauchery. Now imagine that you came to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How do you, as a person who has been raised with this Gnostic worldview, now live and walk as a disciple of Christ? Do you continue to live in the immorality of your flesh or not? Can you continue to live in the immorality of your flesh and still be a follower of Jesus? This is the world setting, and these are the questions to which and for which John wrote his first epistle of 1 John. And all of this is what lay behind his words in our text today. You see, John wrote to these young, naive Christians about life as a child of God. For that is what they were, and that is what we are, by the manner of love which God has given to each one of us through his Son Jesus. And since we are the children of God, we are expected to live as the children of God, which means there's a certain level of behavior and conduct that is required of us. John wrote these words in our epistle today. We know that when he appears, meaning Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. That seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? I'm not sure that I like the sound or the implications of that. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. What does that say about me? Or you, or any of us? Because who of us here has not continued to sin even after our baptism? Continue to sin even after becoming a child of God. John's words are rather scary because they make it sound like we have to completely banish sin from our lives in order to remain as God's children and in order to be saved. But remember who this text was written to and for. It was written to those who thought they could continue to live in the sin of their physical bodies as long as their inner spirits worshiped God. They separated the actions of their flesh from the beliefs of their minds. And thus John is giving them some words of law to shock them into an awareness that such conduct is not permissible nor possible for those who are the children of God. Our actions must flow from and match our beliefs. Well, there may still be instances and occasions of sin and wrongdoing in our lives, probably even daily. Such cannot and must not be the prevailing character of one who is a child of God. Seeking to do what is just and right is the born-again nature of one who follows Jesus. That being said, there will still be times when we sin. As John noted in our epistle reading from last week. If you remember, John wrote in the first and second chapters of his first epistle, these words: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. John knew that even those who walk in the light, as he said in our reading last week, those who are called the children of God, still going to sin. That's why confession of our sins must be a regular and constant part of our life and our walk of faith. And part of that life of confession is also the recognition that we have one who speaks to the Heavenly Father in our behalf. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that's why God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, as John wrote in his epistle, and why he then cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Because Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for our sins, while, of course, on the cross, and because he rose victorious over death and the grave, God has nothing left of which to convict us. Jesus bore our guilt for us. And thus, in God's eyes, we have been purified from all sin. But that good news is not an excuse to keep on sinning. Rather, it is a motivation all the more to walk in the light and to live as a child of God. Not because if we don't, we're not saved, but because that is not how the child of God lives. We cannot walk in the darkness day after day, assuming a character that willfully and wantonly indulges in the sins of the flesh, and yet think ourselves to be still somehow children of God. To do so is to lie to ourselves, to lie to ourselves about who we are. For the child of God, the one who lives in him, walks in the light of God's love and seeks to do what is just and what is right. And when he does sin, which of course we all do, he is quick to confess his sins, that he might then receive the forgiveness which Jesus Christ has already died and rose to give him. And thus, you see this text from John today. It's not a text about being a sinless child of God, but it is a text about being a child of God who seeks to stay away from sin. May we all be such people for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.